And Saul lost his because he went after the wrong media. He says, so the Lord put him to death and turned
into the time factor thing. But like, again, when you employ that manager, they need to understand your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Your vision, you know, it needs to be duplicated to them. And then when they go out there, they look for gigs or negotiate contracts for you, they can be in a position to be your representation. Do you understand?
No, so I get that. How much do you pay your manager? I'm just curious, because if a person wants to be a musician and now they need to think about having a manager, how much do you pay? Or you've got an arrangement that if I make the certain amount of money, you get this percentage?
You're talking about how we divide the money?
Yeah, even as a manager, do you pay them monthly or do you pay them when you make money?
Okay, it's just that for now. We haven't actually, because like I said, most of my music, it's haven't actually started, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
approaching like brands, you know, promoters and people like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but based on my experience, you know, the person that I used to be a backing vocalist for, you know, it was more per gig. And also, it depends on the contract type. You know, if you've got there's a 360 where the record label does everything for you. So they might actually, you might be getting monthly payments. So you might be from that money paying your manager.
So there's
different types of different conditions and all of that. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. So tell me, besides a manager, who do you need on your team to help you as an artist to be successful?
Like a vocal coach is one of them.
Okay.
Do you need live performances, I mean, your band, you need dancers, depending on the type of show that you want to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need a publicist, you need that person also.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, depending on the type of brand that you want to get out there, you might need the stylist also.
It's a lot of people, you know, but as you start out, you figure these things as you go along. So I wanted to know, are you registered in a specific label or you're going to have your own label? Because now we've seen it trending. People just make their own label so that they can have 100% rights to their own material.
We've got your
Casper Nyovest and so are you looking towards going that direction?
That's a very good question, actually. Yeah, I'm looking towards being independent because...
Mm-hmm.
I've got like a super rich collection of experiences in the music business. And also, I mean, together with this intense training that I've picked up from being a project manager for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So starting a business, to me, it's like this, you know, it's just like that. I don't think I will actually allow myself to be signed by a record label.
I like that.
So I'll go independent.
Okay. I like that you draw your experience from your project management experience and then you understand the legalities, you know, and the requirements and the deliverables, you name it. So it's good that you draw from that. I wanted to know that we know that obviously the pandemic has taken the stage away from our artists with the government locking down the country and saying no more to big events, and you have got limitations to the number of people that can come to an event. How do you think that has changed or impacted artists?
Yeah, it has impacted them in a lot of ways because a number of artists, especially here in SA, they've been too dependent on being on stage in order to make money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the platform, you know, that has many opportunities. They haven't actually really explored that. So there's a push factor now because of the existing condition to actually be digital in whatever it is that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you talk about, you know, institutions like, you know, the Summer Awards, the American Music Awards, they now have in their categories, you know, someone who has more streams than the other person. And even YouTube is allowing a lot of artists to actually make money from subscriptions.
Nice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much. So the beauty about this is that since the world is moving, it's becoming more like, you know, digital. So everyone is like forced now.
My next question is, John Legend once said that musicians are making more money from gigs than they are from selling albums. And is that true? And when you're selling an album, how do you make the, is the money that good, or is it money from royalties that is good, or really it's money for tours that is good, or gigs?
Yeah, no, I agree with him, because it depends on the type of contract that you've signed with the record label. Because what happens is the money gets divided by, you know, the executives, the A&R, and everyone. When it gets to you, it's a certain percentage. It's a very small percentage. And then if you've signed a different type of contract other than the 360-degree contract, then you might actually own the tours, own the performances. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It might be stipulated probably as part of a clause within that contract. And then you can make money from that. That's okay. Basically it.
So now let's talk to the fact that when it comes to money and we're going digital and we're trying to do digital concerts, I mean, how do you think that is changing, and how do you think the tech companies are doing to help the artists get money to their pockets during this time?
Everything, I mean, it talks to the numbers, eh? Because once you have a specific number of followers, brands approach you. Mm-hmm. Once you have a specific number of likes, brands approach you, and so on and so on. It's still the same thing, but it's actually happening digitally. I mean, if for example now I was on the road, and then I perform in Namibia, and then there's only two people, I'm not gonna make that money.
That's true.
You take every same situation, you apply it in the digital world. If I don't have so many followers, not too many likes, because there is this thing at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation for the brand and for yourself. So that's basically where everybody's going now.
Great. So now you can perform in Namibia, Botswana, Swaziland while you are still in South Africa. And you spend no cost on travel. I like that.
No cost whatsoever. You know, people tune in from everywhere.
I've seen Facebook trying to help our musicians to pay. I've seen Instagram saying, if you want to attend this event, this is the money you need to pay before you attend this event. So I think the technology companies are definitely coming up with ways for musicians to get some money in the pocket, which is good, you know, because they need to get paid.
Exactly. So, because remember, when you make music, you're creating like content, and its value creation itself, because it makes people happy. When they listen to your music, they become excited. And then at the same time, depending on where they listen to your song at for the first time, it might bring memories.
Good memories.
So talking about the tech giants, I mean, there's a, I forgot his name, but I think he worked, his name is Cohen something, but he worked with Jay-Z, Diamond Dash, and all these other guys. They used to call themselves Rockefeller back in the days.
Yeah, I remember
them. Yeah, so basically what these guys are doing, they went straight to these tech giants. They gave them a proposal. What you are seeing now, like you said about the fact that now Facebook is pushing this. Mm-hmm. No, it's not their idea. It's the record labels that said, guys, listen, these guys are busy putting out this and this and this and that in terms of music. So they need to be compensated for in this manner, and this is how you're going to benefit. So they did strike a deal. Now it's spreading all over. And it's something that was discussed way back, like in 2008, I think.
Really? It took that long to take off. So I remember a discussion where they say now that because you go to the music platform, Spotify, Apple Music, and I think Amazon also has music now. So then if you go buy music, then they get a percentage to that, you know, than actually buying the CD itself. So I think we're done with CDs. Can you agree?
Definitely. I mean, that is gone. And it's extremely gone. I mean, I think now in this day and age, I mean, it's like artificial intelligence that is actually taking over a lot of things. So you better move with the times. And I understand, I mean, people want to keep things the same because they are afraid of change. I am afraid of change, but you know what? If I don't jump in, I'm going to be consumed too. You know, I want to be
Yeah.
able, man, I don't want to be left behind. Hell no.
Yeah, definitely. You can't be left behind. You need to move with the times. So, but I like the fact that the tech giants are making effort to say in every platform, if your music is being played, you need to get money to your pocket as a musician, which is good
True.
because we all playing the music on digital space. Nobody is bothering to take it out of digital space. So I like that new way forward, and it makes for
Before
new artists to have a room. Actually, this means for the new artist that if you release your song and somebody plays it, you get the money. You know, you don't need, and you can put your music into these different platforms.
true.
Awesome.
True.
Mpumelelo, let's take a breather. When we come back, we continue with our show.
Okay.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
To educate, to build, to inspire, to motivate.
Coping with constant change in a technology-driven world. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, with Vetus Leshi. With Vetus Leshi. With Vetus Leshi.
Booming Telund, yeah, get to. Cause this thing is over now. Oh my God, and Andazi, Denzinchan, Koba now, Sandy, Mameli. Booming Telund, yeah, get to. Cause this thing is over now. Oh my God, and Andazi, Denzinchan, Koba now, Sandy, Mameli. Why you always come this way? Why you always come this way? Oh my God, and as in Denzinjan, Koba now, Santi Mamir. Hey,
yes.
Oh my God, and as in Denzinjan, Koba now, Santi Mamir.
Mpumelelo, thank you so much. Welcome back, our listeners. I'm chilling here tonight with Mpumelelo Maegi. So he has been great telling us about his journey to music. And you are listening to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow show with Betusile Shiba. Mpumelelo, welcome back.
I'm back.
I like how pure your voice is. That's why I wanted you untapped, you know, with no instruments messing up the purity.
Acapella.
Acapella style. I like that.
On.
You know, before we went for a break, we touched on the fact that you're a project manager. And I want you to tell us about that. How has your journey been as a project manager?
Yeah, hey, project management has taught me a number of things. So in terms of the journey, I was at Varsity back in Cape Town. I was doing a lot of gigs. Like I was a DJ doing gigs and all of that. So now, even though I was an engineering student, doing electrical engineering. So what happened was I was identifying all of these aspects that make up what we call a gig. You know, there's people, there's money, there's the actual gig, and so on and so forth. And then I wanted to do like a course or a degree that talks to that. So I was searching and searching, and then I came across, you know, a curriculum, a project management curriculum. And then it was talking about a lot of these things that I want to know. You know,
the
accounting,
cost, the time,
the time,
and the scope,
the resources, and all of that. So it was talking about all these things. Then that's when I started with project management. And then I took it from the stage of becoming, of being, you know, at the entry level up to a point whereby now I'm managing projects that are almost worth about $1 million,
ooh,
you know.
That's good.
So that's big, actually, you know.
It is. It's big in the project management field.
Yeah, it's big. Yeah, it's very big. And also having worked for all these different big companies. I mean, we once actually worked together. I was reporting to you.
Yeah. Do you have to remind me?
Yeah, so you actually did contribute to this too, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. In terms of project management. Also, yeah.
So tell me, project management, what does a project manager do and what does one need to study in varsity?
In terms of what the project manager does, they take something that's like really vague, you know, it's just an idea, and take it through a process and then deliver it to a specific customer. But like, again, beyond that, they need to make sure that whatever they deliver, it achieves all of the benefits that were tabled in the beginning, because you can't say, I have this idea, but you don't have associated benefits about it. So a project manager will get involved in all of that. In terms of, you know, what to study, I studied project management. You know, like I explained in the beginning, I did a degree in that. And then after that, I did plenty of courses, you know, Prince Tools, you know, PMBOK. And
yes.
Now I'm doing the PMP, you know, I'm writing my exam, like I think in 3 weeks time.
Nice.
So, and I went to different types of trainings, and I joined even the project management South Africa. So that, you know, you can be accredited to be, like, you know, a recognized project manager. So there's all these different types of avenues. And so, because I love it so much. So,
you do, hey, you're a career project manager.
So for me, it makes a lot of sense. It allows me to grow, man. One, it just gives me
that. And there are always projects.
There are always projects. I mean, it's like in music, there will always be musicians, regardless of whether there's artificial intelligence or anything, but there's always going to be somebody that needs to come up with that music idea. Project management, I mean, even now where I work, there's AI, artificial intelligence projects.
Nice.
But I'm not managing those, but I know there's a department that focuses on that.
So what I like is that you have had the background to work with IT projects and other projects beyond. Which project did you find interesting, and what was intriguing about it?
I think the one that was good for me is it's when I, for the first time, you know, have to deal with stakeholders that are outside of the country, you know, hearing different accents, you know, and then also being pushed to actually understand their culture, which was really a benefit for me also. And then imagine you talk to a brother of yours in Ghana, and they tell you about, like, you know, what they go through, their good stuff, bad stuff. You end up understanding a lot about Ghana, you know, even though you haven't been there. And it opens, it really does that. It's like the pores open up, and then you begin to actually really, you know, put yourself in that position where, like, you know, I want to be coachable as much as I can, because I can see the benefits. You know,
yeah.
I want to receive as much as I can. So a project that I did for Ghana, and I did, it was a combined project, a huge project, but we were just replacing pin pad services on a platform called a Phoenix application. Pin pad, you know, everyone knows it, where you change pin, you reset pin, and all those other functions. So there's an application that enables you to do all of that. So I was responsible for doing it for other countries, Swaziland.
Nice.
I did it for Namibia, Botswana, you know. So
wow, was that huge. Was a big project, eh?
Yeah, it was super huge. Yeah,
oh,
because also there's a security aspect to it. Because a lot of the times, you know, what makes your pin not be discovered or being detected? There's some form of security
layer
into it. So all of those things, they taught me a lot. I delivered it successfully. I mean, I was like, yeah, I'm the man.
Congratulations. That's big. I know once it's successfully delivered, you can rest. Like,
yeah,
oh, my daughter. During the time we have headaches.
Oh, endless ones.
I'm happy for you. That was a good opportunity for you to grow. So tell our listeners what you have learned climbing the corporate ladder. What I like is that you are in the artist musician world, and then you're in the corporate. What have you learned that you're applying to the side of being an artist?
Like I said, something about project management, you know, those aspects that we need to manage in a project. They help you negotiate, you know, with producers, because now I'm still negotiating with producers. I haven't met stylists, I haven't met, you know, managers, I haven't met anybody, because I'm focusing on the on the material now. The material needs to look good, sound good, and all of that. So, but in terms of the teachings of the corporate world, I think like, hey man, it's beautiful. You know what? You begin to talk the talk, man, walk the walk. Mm-hmm. The confidence is there. Yes. I mean, if I can walk into any, I don't care, whether it's a business meeting, whether it's a setup within a corporate setting, I will be able to hold my own, you know?
That's good.
Because I went through all these forms of embarrassment. I mean, imagine like you're presenting your presentation for the first time ever. You're like, and then people laugh at you. Some come through, and then they tell you, we understand you're going to go through this. Please try again, man. And then you grow out of all those things. And then you get to a point, and you're like, wow, I can't believe it's me.
Yeah.
So the corporate world contributed a lot to who I am as a person, like how I carry myself, because protocol, you know, there's a lot of that going on, and structure and governance. So even in my life, that's what I choose to do. Nice. I govern the way I do things.
Do you think that it makes you to be twice a perfectionist, you know, like extremely perfectionist on your music life?
yeah. Because, you know, like, especially when you apply yourself, because there's one thing, like, I mean, there are people that are in these offices right now. They just do things to actually be compliant. Mm. They don't learn it. They don't get the essence and how it connects to the strategy of the company, and how even the strategic direction of the company in 3 years is going to look like. How, hey man, you want to deliver a project and be there to see the customer consuming that type of product or service.
I understand you, because I know that as a person who works in the corporate and then I have my side things, I apply everything from the corporate to my side things. I expect the same level of perfection. If I'm going to give somebody this much, I'm going to do what's mine twice as much. You know, I've got that principle going. So I understand 100%, and I can get into any room and command it and then present and sell myself. And I've learned to sell myself. You know, one thing they don't teach you is how to sell yourself and make it consumable, you know, easy to understand. All these nice things, we learn them from the corporate world and we just take them to the other side. The corporate world teaches us a lot. So Mbumi, you've told us you started singing in varsity. Oh my gosh, that's a long time ago. So how do you then balance these two lifestyles, being an artist, upcoming artist, and also being a full-time project manager?
So what I have, what I call a table performance matrix. Again, it's a benefit that I got. It's a benefit that I got from the corporate world. But I actually designed this thing. I score every single moment, the time, everything. Like I've got it's a three layer. Okay, I'm not going to talk about the table performance matrix, but I'm just going to talk about what it does. Mm-hmm. It helps me to score my performance per activity. And all of my activities have been allocated a certain amount of time. So what I do is the balance. This is how, so I've got like eight hours at work, and then I've got like 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening. So I wake up at 4 every day. Every day I wake up at 4, you know, it's either I practice my music or I work on my businesses, all these other business ideas that I have, or else I study. So it's just a matter of being able to make use of the 24 hours that is being allocated in a day and measure your performance, because it's one thing to have these goals and it's something else to have them and measure your performance. How are you going to be able to know how you are doing in connection with these things if you don't measure them?
That's so impressive.
This table performance matrix, that's exactly what it does for me. Hey man, it's an amazing thing. I mean, beautiful.
I like that, Mpumi, because you know what? This year I decided to have so many things I need to chase. So I think it's good to account to yourself, you know, hold yourself accountable to say, what have I done? Because December is going to come. I'm going to like, oh, yes, those were just goals. You know, I'm going to push them to next year. I need to know and track what have I done? Why have I not done it? And what are the plans to get it done? I like that accountability strategy. Love it. I'm just going to, I may ask for you to send me the table. So that I put my visions and goals.
It's like my secret workbook. I know, no, I'll probably like share, yeah, definitely. I mean,
they,
we are all in the same journey to win and
yeah, and achieve more.
yeah, I'll definitely share it, yeah, via WhatsApp or something.
So, Mpumi, are you planning to leave project management anytime soon to pursue music as a full-time career?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm planning to leave. I even have like an exit strategy that I worked on.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
You are
So,
impressive.
yeah, no, I, you
Do you have
know, the thing is,
timelines? Do you have, you're a project manager full time.
I did that. I did all of that. So it's actually like now I'm practically inside that exit strategy. I'm executing it as we speak.
Nice.
And that's why life becomes a bit more adventurous because you already know exactly what's going on. It's like, you know, when they say mind your own business, you need to know what your business is in order to
That's
mind it.
true.
So
Yes.
I had to take the time to mind my own business to identify what my business is. Then I had all these tools and techniques that I can put together to somehow make this a bit more systematic than it being random.
Yeah, you
So
know.
that's why I'm talking about this exit strategy now. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm excited about it. So to answer your question, I'm definitely going to leave, but music to me, it's something that I'm going to do forever, you
That's
know?
good.
And it's a hobby that, you know, so much, I'm very committed to it. You know where you have a hobby, people have this perception that it's something that you take lightly. No, to me, it's more like a hobby that I'm committed to.
I like
So
that.
it comes with this commitment. That's the reason why now I'm able to pay, because a hobby is expensive too. I'm able to pay for studio times. I'm able to pay a producer. Now I'm going to pay a stylist as soon as I lose weight. That's a sign of commitment when you start now using your own money to make this thing a reality. Yeah.
Let's be honest, the corporate jobs are helping us pay for our side hustle or our future main hustle, you know, or our talent, which I enjoy. I enjoy.
True, true, true. And I mean, the nicest thing is in the process, you learn while you're busy making another person happy, you make the company that you work for happy. But as soon as you're done with that, you're like, wow, I'm a different guy. I'm a different woman due to this project, whatever you were working on.
And you know, you pick up good service management skills and you know and
Skills.
knowledge, you know, to go on and
Precisely.
know what is professionalism and be professional. You don't want an opportunity to find you only to find you that you're not prepared for it.
True, true. Now I'm with you.
So, Mpumi, obviously producing an album, it's a project on its own. So are you going to be your own project manager?
Yeah, no, I'm keeping everyone that I work with a little bit more accountable. So I'm using those principles.
Good.
But there are skills that I don't have that these guys have. And these guys are teaching me about the music business a lot. I mean, I'm learning a lot from them. And you know, I say to them, what do I do here? What do I do there? And then they say, no, man, this is like too trendy, too like this. What do you want to achieve with this song? What do you know? So I can't do that. Those things, I can't do them. I can have maybe a
You come with
voice.
the framework. You come with the framework from
Yeah, so it's more like a framework type of situation. So that's basically what I come up with. Like, yeah. So guys, you know what? This thing
fit
needs
the
to be
pieces.
approachable. So this is the framework. You know, so yeah. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I'm not gonna be a specialist in my music album. I'm gonna be the guy probably managing a way forward.
A
And the building
visionary.
of the project, yeah, building of the project.
Okay, I like that you have project management and you are having your music career on the side. It makes you diverse, and I like that you are getting benefit from the other side to the other side. What are you learning from the musician industry to your corporate?
The only thing, I mean, I remember before COVID, the only thing that was nice about, like, knowing the fact that, I sing and I have these sounds, I have these ideas. The minute I come across a very disturbing situation at the office, I can sit down and be deliberate about it and sing a song to myself, like, and say, okay, let me come up with a tune. Not because of the situation. It's not like I'm going to sing about the situation, but the music, it's very, it's like
Healing.
a, it's healing. Yeah, like the.